Man, Father's Day, what a day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. My dad is here, and he is a good one. How many are thankful for good dads? Yeah, I was thinking, my dad, he met me when I was 9. And I didn't have a dad. And he chose me. Feeling strangely emotional about that today, too. Whew! You better watch out, guys. I don't know what's going to happen here today. But he chose me, and he wanted me. He didn't just kind of get me when I popped out. And he actually got to choose me. And that's what our Father does for us, too. He chooses us. He calls us and says, "You're mine. I'm pulling you in. You're mine." So I want to welcome everybody in the Family Center today. We have an awesome crew of people out there, and I wanted to get in shape before I preached for you on the large screen, because I'm on a large screen in that room, and I apologize, what you see is what you get. I wanted to be in shape for you, but it just didn't happen. So, you know, they say you look about 100 pounds bigger on video, so let's just believe that. Yeah. All right, would you stand with me? We're going to actually read the Word of God before I carry on. And I'm going to just have you read it on the screen behind me today. We're going to read out of Luke chapter 11, out of the Passion Translation. And it's just a fresh translation. I love it. It just speaks to my heart. And it's Luke chapter 11. And this is the model prayer that Jesus gives his disciples. And in giving it to his disciples, he's actually giving it to us as well. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Let's read it out loud together. It says, "One day, as Jesus was in prayer, one of his disciples came over to him as he finished and said, 'Would you teach us a model prayer that we can pray, just like John did for his disciples?' So Jesus taught them this prayer." Here we go. "Our Heavenly Father, may the glory of your name be the center on which our life turns. May your Holy Spirit come upon us and cleanse us. Manifest your kingdom on earth and give us our needed bread for the coming day. Forgive us our sins as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us, and rescue us every time we face tribulation." It's good. I want to read the parable passage in Matthew 6, and I want us to read it out loud again. Matthew 6, verse 9. "Our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center which our lives turn. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is fulfilled in heaven. Forgive us." Where are we? I was following the screen and they lost me. Are we there? "We acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. Forgive us the wrongs we have done as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Rescue us every time we face tribulation and set us free from evil. For you are the King who rules with power and glory forever. Amen." Come on. That's a good word. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. What a prayer. You know, Jesus said that his house would actually be a house of prayer. He said that his house would be a house of prayer for all nations. So at the center and at the heart of what we are to be, all of us in this place, we are to be a house of prayer, not an idea of prayer or just a concept of prayer, but a people of prayer, fueled by prayer, full of prayer. Makes me want to pray. I think we should. We're in church. It's good to pray. So today we're going to dig into this prayer, and we're going to dig in line by line this morning. And I think we should pay special attention to the way he teaches us to pray. Honestly, we should pay special attention to anything that Jesus says. Amen? But of all the names that Jesus could have used in this prayer for God, he uses Father. Our Father. Our Father, because it's relationship and it's family, because God is a God of relationship. He is a father, and we get to pray as sons and daughters to our father. We get to pray as sons and daughters, not as servants, not as orphans, not as hirelings. We get to actually come before him as sons and daughters before God and cry out to him. How many are thankful for that this morning? You know, I believe that the cry and the ache that is in every one of our hearts, and really in the heart of all humanity, is for Father. Doesn't matter what people say in the church or outside the church in the world, there is an ache to know our Father. There is a cry for Father. You look at the impact of what fathers do and represent. Even mediocre fathers in our society change things instead of when there's one that's not even there, when they're absent. The presence of Father, we crave it. Kids crave for a father. And 80-year-old men crave for fathers. We crave, we hunger for him. You know, Jesus doesn't just give us this prayer for spiritual routine and exercise. He doesn't just model this prayer and say, hey, I want to give you some good spiritual exercises to do because you need to stay in shape. No, he doesn't do it for that. He's modeling what to ask for because he's showing us how to pray prayers that the Father is fully committed to answering. How many want to pray prayers that the Father is committed to answering and responding to? I'm so thankful that God doesn't play games and he doesn't just put us out on spiritual quests and spiritual exercises, that when we pray, he actually comes. Do we believe that as a church? When we pray, when two or more are gathered and we pray and we agree in his name, he's actually there. It's not just an idea of him being there. He's actually here right now. We come into agreement. 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15 says this. This is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. This is the promise. Anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So this prayer is giving us direction on how to pray. On how to pray. On how to pray. So here we go. We're going to take each one and we're going to just dive into it. So our Father in heaven, can you say that out loud? Our Father in heaven, this first one. And this Passion Translation says it like this. May the glory of your name be the center on which our life turns. Whew. You've read it like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. It starts with worship. This first thing is worship. It's adoration. Holy, reverenced is your name. Holy is your name. Reverence, respect, respected is your name. It's how Jesus begins the prayer. I tell you what, before the other requests of this prayer, he starts with worship. He starts with praise. He starts with adoration. He begins prayer by just adoring his Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Church, worship is important. Not just because I've been a worship pastor. Worship is important. It's the key that begins everything. So this prayer, be the center on which my life turns. Whew. In the morning, when you rise, that prayer, be the center on which my life turns. At noon, in the middle of your day, be the center on which my life turns. At 5 o'clock, when you're driving in traffic and people tick you off, be the center on which my life turns. When you get home before bed, be the center on which my life turns. Can you imagine if we actually really gotten a consistency of praying that from the heart, what would happen? It'd be hard to go off course. Be the center. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. The book of Revelation gives us a picture of what's happening around the throne right now, and it's worship. It's worship. It's exaltation of the one on the throne. Can we just lift our voices real quick? Just lift your hands. And can we just worship him with no music? Come on. Hallowed be your name. We want to enter into this. Our Father in heaven, may the glory of your name be the center on which our life turns. We glorify you. We exalt you. Come on, church. Lift your voices up out loud. We exalt your name in this place. Before anything and everything, we exalt the name of Jesus. We exalt the name of Jesus. We exalt the name of Jesus. Come on, just keep the worship going for a few minutes. Just lift your voices. We exalt you as we enter into your word. Before we bring any other requests, we magnify your name. We magnify your name. Your presence is everything to us. Your presence is everything to us. Your presence is everything to us. Be exalted in this place. Be exalted in this place. Be the center. Be the center. Be the center. Be the center on which my life turns. Be the center. Jesus, be the center. Be the center. Be the center. You know, it's okay to preach and pray at the same time. This house of prayer, be the center. I feel like God wants to just realign some things even right now as we worship. Just another minute. Would you just lift that up? Just lift up that worship. Just where I believe it's even becoming a shift in priority over the church right now. That there's a shift in priority happening right now as we worship him right now. Be exalted. Be exalted. That where worship has taken a second, third, fourth, fifth seat, now, right now, be exalted. Worship. Worship. Be exalted. Before anything else, we worship. Before anything else, we worship. Jesus. 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 Be the center. Be the center. Be the center. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Number two, second part is this: manifest your kingdom realm. Can we say that out loud? Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is fulfilled in heaven. You've heard it like this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know, we throw this one around so much that we can miss its power. I throw it around a lot, and I have to resist the urge that it just becomes an idea rather than a power, Holy Spirit released expression in my life. It can become just a great idea and lack reality, lack demonstration. But I just want to just remind you today that, church, we're not looking to escape earth. You can hear that kind of theology in a lot of people. We're not looking to escape earth. We're actually here looking to bring heaven to earth. Why do we exist in this city? To bring heaven to earth. How many want to see Springfield different in a year from now? I mean, I just read this report that said that we're like in the top 10 like bad places to live. That is not okay with me. That's not okay. That's not okay. So our mission is not to escape Springfield. It isn't to escape our country or escape the earth. Our mission is to bring heaven to earth. But we'll never do it if we don't believe the prayer that Jesus prayed. We will never do it if we don't believe that he said to pray it because it's actually what God wanted to do. If we take it as an idea or just a mental assent to an idea, it will never become reality and will become dumbed down and powerless. But if we actually take him at his word and we say, on earth now as it is in heaven, stuff's going to start happening. I do believe that. I do believe that. The kingdom has come And it's coming through us, not the superstar types with a microphone, not that I am, but, you know, not just people on a stage. He's looking to manifest himself through ordinary people. How many ordinaries do we have here? I'm an ordinary. He is looking to transform the earth through ordinary people, not the superstars, those who will carry his presence powerfully. Those who know him through prayer. Those who know his presence. Because guys, his presence is heaven on earth. His presence is heaven on earth. Turn to somebody and say that. His presence is presence. Heaven on earth. This prayer, cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is fulfilled in heaven. Guys, where his presence is made manifest, sickness cannot remain. Where his presence is manifest, death cannot remain. Where his presence is, torment cannot remain. Hopelessness cannot remain. Bondage cannot remain. Addiction cannot remain where he is made manifest. It's the truth. Hatred cannot remain in me. Abuse cannot remain where his presence is made manifest. Racial injustice cannot remain. Come on, it gets into all of the issues. It gets into all the everyday social issues that we face. Where he is, those things cannot be. And I want to be honest with you, church, that at times I'm affected by what I don't see happening. Have you ever been affected by what you don't see happening? I have been affected by what I don't see happening, but I want to tell you that in my heart, I have a renewed passion to push through and align my vision and align my passion, not with what I'm not seeing, but with what he says is to be seen. Hear me on this. Hear me on this. I get discouraged. Sometimes I dumb down in my life to what I'm not seeing. I don't realize I'm doing it, but sometimes I do that. But God's saying, hey, I want to remind you what I've said and what I've called you to be. And even though you're not seeing it, give your heart to what you haven't seen yet. Jesus, I said this Wednesday night, it just kind of hit me. Jesus doesn't just call us to know stuff. He calls us to do stuff. Like Jesus doesn't just call us to know stuff. I love to know stuff. I love when people know stuff. But he calls us to actually do the stuff. Do the stuff that he says. You know, many of us in this room had been standing in that place of prayer and agreement for Shauna Nelson, and who's in a battle with cancer. And a week ago, about right now, she went to be with the Lord. And I know many of you know that, some of you don't. And the truth is, we grieve with her family. We heard about it. There's a grieving that is holy, amen? We are to grieve. We don't grieve as those who have no hope, right? Because we have hope. And the truth is, she's not hurting anymore, that's for sure. And I just want to just say this to you and get the elephant out of the room. I don't understand why she wasn't healed. Can I just say that out loud? I don't understand why she wasn't healed. There were anointed prayers prayed over her. There was a mobilization of people standing in that place. I don't understand. And I would never stand here this morning and give you some pat answer about healing. Because nobody needs that. Nobody needs that. I wouldn't stand here and try and give you reasons or excuses. But I want to just tell you today, the truth is, I'm actually not asking why. Because I don't actually feel the need to ask why. I find that that question oftentimes, it got really quiet in here. Hold on with me. I felt the seriousness come in the room. That question almost never brings life. And here's the reason why I don't ask why. I just need to know what he says. I just need to fix my eyes and my gaze on what he says. And what he says is right in front of us. He says, on earth as it is in heaven. He says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover, right? That's what he says. He says, stretch out your hands to heal and do signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. That's what the Bible says. It says that is where we set our vision and we set our heart. And I'm just standing today in this place that I'm not going to back down from what I know is rightfully to be made manifest through the church and the power of Jesus. Even in the moments of discouragement and setbacks. I was reading in Acts chapter 5, verse 12. It says, the apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. It says, and all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. It says, but no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. That's funny. Is that not funny to you? That's funny to me. It's like sometimes I hear like how people are like, oh, we heard how great it is over there at Hope, the presence of God. Yeah, we don't go though. They're a little too wild for us, but we have high regard for you. I don't know. This might have been me. I thought it was hilarious. But yet more and more people, it says, believed and were brought to the Lord. Crowds of both men and women. And as a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. This is crazy. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits. And it says they were all healed. They were all healed. Acts chapter 19. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul so that even his handkerchiefs, handkerchiefs? How do we say handkerchiefs? Chiefs? I mean, we are in Missouri. Chiefs. Handkerchiefs. My grandpa had one of those. He had one of those white handkerchiefs, chiefs. And I always just remember him blowing his nose on it. You know, it was a great memory. Listen, so even handkerchiefs, chiefs, I cannot even get it right. Or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick. It says, and their diseases left them and evil spirits came out of them. Church, this is the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's a picture. It's a picture, one of many, of the purposes of heaven being released on earth. Paul, he was a tent maker, which means he made tents. It's like so deep. Just wanted to let you in on that revelation. Yeah, and so this is telling me he's a tent maker, you know? And this is telling me that his hanker. What? Chief? Chief. How many chiefs? How many chiefs? Okay, we're going with the chief. Handkerchiefs. It's settled. Robert's rules. All in favor? Yeah, I'm just kidding. Opposed. Oh gosh, you're getting me off track. Okay, this is telling me that his handkerchief that he used to blow his nose or wipe his sweat while he was making tents was used to heal the sick, to heal diseases, to cast out demons. Like in his everyday sweat and blowing of, or what, I don't know if he blew his nose, but I imagine him to. And you know, like it was used to heal the sick and drive out demons. Like, church, this is the picture. This is a vision, one picture, one vision of what can be. And this is the prayer. Manifest your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Church, when we have disappointments, and I'm going to tell you, Shauna was a disappointment. It was a setback. Things that we don't understand. You know, you've been praying for things that you have not seen. Have you ever had a setback or a disappointment? Something you knew needed to be different. I want to see hands that you prayed and it didn't happen. Yes, we all are. And we're not pretending that those things don't happen. But we're also not pretending to get some weird theology about them either. But why they didn't happen. There are things we don't understand. I have them. I don't pretend about them. I don't ignore them. But I want to tell you what I do have is I have an I don't understand file. Literally. And I put them in the file where I can still see it, not where I don't hide it in a closet somewhere where I can't find it, where I can see it. And when the Lord wants to talk about those things, I listen. But I refuse to get stuck in the mud and hung up over disappointment. It's a holy thing to grieve about disappointments. I am not saying that we pretend and everything's great. We got to grieve. We got to deal with it. But we have to be a people that refuse to get hung up because of setbacks. And instead, what we do is we strengthen ourselves in the Lord by remembering what he has said. Even if it's not lining up with what we just saw. We strengthen ourselves with what he has said and what he's made available and what he's already done until I see with my eyes. So Shauna is with Jesus today and she is pretty darn happy. But I'll tell you what, we got other people. We got other people that we have to stand in the place of believing and saying, I am on the earth to bring heaven to earth. People in this room need healing, need miracles, that we're going to say, you know what? We're not going to get stuck in the mud by what didn't happen or what hasn't happened. I'm going to stand on the word. I'm going to look at what he said. I'm going to look at what he's done, and I'm going to release that on earth as it is in heaven. Man, I'd love to preach on that for about 3 more hours this morning. But I'm actually going to have some opportunity. I feel like the Lord gave me a message for the end of July. I'm going to do like a 3-week series on being a living demonstration. How many want to be a living demonstration? I do too. So I want us just to pray this really quick. Would you lift your hands again? We can't do the Lord's Prayer without praying it as we go. Come on, lift your voices. We're just going to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, just pray it out. God, let it come. Let it come. I want to see things I could never, ever imagine before. I want to see the miraculous. I want to see the power of God manifested. I want to see disease flee at the sound of the name of Jesus. We want to be a place that people come to with cancer, that literally get healed and walk out of this place and declare the glory of God. We want to be a people, the demon-possessed and oppressed people come in. They get set free because the kingdom is so among us. The presence of God is so strong among us. We want to be people that when they walk in this place and they walk around us, that addictions are literally broken off because of the presence of God on this church. If you hunger for that, come on, just lift your hunger right now. I believe he's filling your hunger right now. He's filling your hunger right now. We get to do this stuff. We don't just get to know about it. God, give us a hunger for the miraculous. Give us a hunger for the things you said would be that we could do in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. On earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. I pray we would resist to make it an idea. But we would bring ourselves before you and say, I want my life to be a reality of this. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Number 3, our Father, give us our needed bread for the coming day. Give us our needed bread for the coming day. This is the model. In Old Testament, bread was a powerful symbol of the provision for his people. Our Father is our provider, right? Jehovah Jireh. My provider, his grace is... Yeah. With the little minor chords. Just kidding, that's not translating on the podcast. Church, God cares about our every need. He cares about our every need. And our Father, he wants to provide all that we need. And in Jesus bringing this prayer into this prayer, he's modeling dependency. He's modeling daily reliance upon God. You know, I can almost remember what it was like to be a kid when there were no adult responsibilities. Let me just dream about that a minute. You know, where I didn't have to like pay the bills and fix the stuff and, you know, mow the lawn. And I like mowing, but you know what I mean? Like I didn't have to like take the dead frog out of the dog's mouth, you know? Like my dad would do that, you know? Do you know what I mean? Like, for those of you who are adults, like grown-ups, like, do you remember? It's like, I can almost remember. My needs were just taken care of. My kids, you know, they never wonder where their daily bread is coming from. It just appears. It's like magic. It's just, bah! Lunch, breakfast, dinner, there it is, you know? There's such an innocence and a trust in children. I think it's probably why Jesus said that, you know, unless you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom. It's just the dependence. And as we get older, we become more independent. We become more self-sustaining, which is good, right? It'd be really weird if I was an adult and couldn't do any of those things, right? It's good. But this prayer is this posture of dependence upon my Father. And when we pray this prayer, there's like a shift that happens in us to bring us back to the reality in our day that He is the one that sustains us. To shift us back to dependence in a very independent world. In a very like, I can do this world. This prayer is bringing us back and saying, Father, out of relationship, give us this day. Give me this day my daily bread. Because everything that I have is a gift from you. That keeps us from entitlement. Because we're dependent and it's a gift and we're just saying, God, it's everything is yours. You've given me everything that I need for life and godliness. It's in you, physical and spiritual food. Amen? Amen. We're going to go on to the fourth one. Says this, our Father, forgive our sins as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Can we read that one out loud? Come on. Forgive us sins as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. You know, what's so interesting about this prayer is that Jesus actually didn't have to pray that part because he didn't have to repent. Because he never sinned. Right? Because he's God in the flesh. He's sinless, but he calls us and empowers us actually to live a sinless life. Have you ever imagined living a life free of sin? Jesus did it. He says, come on, follow me. That's the vision. Follow me. Follow me. But when you do sin, confess. 1 John 1:9, you've all heard it, you have it memorized. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Church, he will cleanse us and forgive us if we repent. If we repent. It's getting quiet. We should talk more about repentance. We should rejoice at repentance, right? Confession and repentance is beautiful. It is a beautiful thing. We don't like to talk about it a lot, but we should, because we never want anything to block our relationship with the Lord. It's just like it, 101 is that. Like we never want to dismantle the confidence that we have. Like we just, it's just as simple as that. Like we never want anything to get in there where it's blocking our confidence in following and walking out the kingdom. We want to be those that don't hold secret sin. Smile at me. Come on. We don't want to be those that hold secret sin, and we want to be those that get out of sin quickly. We want to be those that sin doesn't grow in us, but it's dealt with. Where we just deal with it on a daily basis. If it comes up, we deal with it. And then when you deal with it, it less and less and less and less till I believe we can walk in a place of mostly sinlessness or all sinlessness. I know that's upsetting to some of you right now, but I mean, if Jesus modeled it and he says, like, be like me, I think we just got to follow him in all the ways. Right? So we're not pretending, But we're being real and saying, I want to walk sinless. I want to walk holy and pure before you. And to do that, I have to be real on a daily basis. Father, forgive me of my sins. And we have to refuse pride. We got to refuse pride, and we got to refuse that desire to perform and look like something. And instead, be those that are humble and say, you know what? I'm going to confess this. I'm going to get it out, because if I don't, shame comes. Shame is bad. Everybody say shame, bad. Guilt. Oh, awful, horrible, binding. Shame and guilt come in. Condemnation comes in. But the truth is, our Father never wanted anything to come between our relationship. He didn't. Shame and guilt cause people to distance themselves from the Father. And it's like, I can feel his heart today, church, saying, I don't want anything between us. I don't want anything between us. And that's not coming between him, but it's becoming between us and him. He's still standing there like this. Come to me with your shame, with your guilt. I'll set you free. But we have to repent. Church, we have to keep, we want to bring it before him when it happens. I feel like it's more powerful than you're responding, but God's like, I don't want to love you from a distance. I don't want to love you like that. I don't want you to live less of a life than I intended for you. I want close. If you mess up, repent, come to me, turn towards me. I'll forgive you. I'll wash you. Maybe you're here today and you've been living in a cycle of sin. Maybe nobody knows about it. I want to tell you, here's your way out today. God wants to set you free. It's just going to take a little humility of offering your truth. Be honest, be real. The second part of that prayer, I wish I could go on there. Second part of that prayer, so forgive us as we forgive those who have wronged us. There is an unforgiveness in heaven. And if there isn't any there, and our model is Jesus, then we're to be free from unforgiveness. You say that's easier said than done. Well, we have to look to Jesus, and his way was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Well, I want to tell you, it sure seemed like they knew what they were doing. Everything I read in the Gospels, when I saw what they were doing, spitting in somebody's face is pretty intentional. Beating them, whipping them, crown of thorns, pushed in the head, nails through a hand, that seems pretty intentional. And Jesus still prays, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Come on, that's powerful. That's powerful. It's the same for those who sin against us. Church, our fight isn't against people. People can wound us, and they do. How many have been hurt by somebody before? Like, if you're human, your hand is raised, right? I mean, it's just the truth. But our fight isn't against them. Jesus showed us that. He showed us the better way. He says, forgive them as you've been forgiven. Forgive those that have wronged you. Ephesians 4, chapter 32 says this, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. When we respond this way, when we are quick to forgive, we're literally bringing heaven to earth. When we refuse to be offended, we're literally bringing heaven to earth because we're doing what Jesus did. When we choose to live without offense, we literally are telling the powers and the principalities where to go. How many want to tell them where to go? Yeah. Guys, I have like 2 minutes left and it's not good. Can you just hang on? Can we just keep going? I wanted to pray into that, but I don't have time. You go pray on that on your own, okay? Here we go. The fifth thing, our Father, rescue us every time we face tribulation and set us free from evil. The ESV, you've heard it like this. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Church, God tempts no one to sin. James 1:13 says, it's impossible for God to be tempted by evil. He himself tempts no one. So we have to refuse the lie that that would ever be. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Here we go. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. Can we say God is faithful? God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape. Everybody say escape. There's always an escape. That is good news. There is always an escape. Turn to somebody, tell them there is always an escape. I'm serious. You got to think about this. There is always an escape. It's the key. There is freedom for people today just right in this. Cycles of sin, things that you continue to do over and over. I want to tell you, there is a way of escape today. The Word of God just told us. And just because you haven't seen it and you haven't lived in it, I want to tell you, set your mind and your eyes on Him. Bring that fresh perspective back. What He's made available. What He's made available, there's always an escape. And I want to tell you right now, even at the sound of the Word of God, the power and the presence of God is breaking in right now. Over every lie, right now in this place, He is here. And there's a way out every time. There is deliverance from evil because He's the deliverer. It's good. He's breaking cycles of sin and darkness, even right now at the sound of His word. And it's why Jesus says, pray this, because I want you free from evil. And I want to deliver you from evil. Jesus was able to say, Satan has nothing in me. And we have been given the right and the ability through the power of His blood and the Holy Spirit to say the same thing. Sixth one. Our Father, for you are the King who rules with power and glory forever. Amen. Jesus started with worship and He ends with worship. Come on, church. Worship and prayer. Worship and prayer. May our homes be filled with worship and prayer. May our marriages be filled with worship and prayer. May our streets be filled with worship and prayer. May our church be filled with worship and prayer. May our workplace be filled with worship and prayer. The reality of heaven coming to earth. My goodness. Guys, I need just two more minutes. And I had plenty of time. I just didn't get through it. Would you stand with me? And I'm going to invite the other room too to stay with me here through this. Right after this prayer. In Luke 11, Jesus gives this illustration, okay? Here we go, verse 5. He says this. So this is right after this prayer. He says this. Imagine what would happen if we were to go to one of your friends in the middle of the night and pound on his door and shout, please, do you have some food you can spare? A friend just arrived at my house unexpectedly and I have nothing to serve him. But your friend says, why are you bothering me? Man, the door's locked. My family and I are all in bed. Do you expect me to get up and give you our food? But listen, because of your shameless impudence, persistence, even though it's the middle of the night, your friend will get up out of his bed and give you all that you need. And this is so powerful. The next line, Jesus says this, so it is with your prayers. So it is with your prayers. Ask and you'll receive. Seek, you'll discover. Knock on heaven's door and it's going to one day open to you. Every persistent person will get what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he needs. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. Come on, church, lift your hands, lift your voices, and just receive that word. Some of you, come on, lift your hands all over this place and just exalt the name of Jesus. Some of you are in the middle of the night and you gotta press through. Some of you are in the middle of the night and you gotta press through. It feels like midnight. It feels like crisis. You're not seeing what you know you should be seeing. And the Lord says, keep going. Keep going. You gotta press through. You got to press through the disappointment. You got to press through the discouragement. You got to keep going. You got to keep going until you see the reality of heaven released through you in those situations that you know are not right. You know that God says something else about that. And you stand in that place. You stand in that place. He goes on, he says, let me ask you this. Do you know of any father who would give his son a snake on a plate when he asked for a serving of fish? Of course not. Do you know of any father who would give his daughter a spider when she asked for an egg? Of course not. If imperfect parents know how to lovingly take care of their children and give them what they need, how much more will the perfect heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness when his children ask him? Whew. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise for that. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, how many are standing in that place where you have not seen things you know need to shift and turn around, and you're standing, it's like midnight for you. I want to see hands. Come on, just lift your hands if that's you in this place. You're agreeing. Yeah, come on, just put your hand on somebody next to you that's their hand is raised, and I just want us to pray out loud together. Father, we ask for a fresh release of the fullness of the Holy Spirit over this, all of these things represented, to pray and persist. To pray and persist. You've been in the middle of the night. You're tired and worn out. You're discouraged. You might be burned out, exhausted from the fight. But keep asking. Your Father, your good Father, He wants to give you the fullness of the Spirit again today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I pray for encouragement to be released in this house. I pray for hope to be released even right now at the sound of your word and the sound of your voice. In Jesus' name. I'm going to invite the ministry team to come forward. Maybe you need specific prayer. We need to go. God bless you. You're going to do some amazing things today. You're going to do this stuff this week. You're not going to just know the stuff. Because of today, you're going to do stuff that you've never done. In Jesus' name. God bless you.